Robinhood Radio presents Between the Stacks, a weekly chat about our local libraries.
Hello, everybody. Welcome. This is Tammy Gaskell. I am director of the Roelof Janssen Community Library in Copaic, New York. And I'm joined today with Gretchen Hutchmeister, who is the director of the Hotchkiss Library in Sharon, Connecticut. Today we are going to be talking about a topic that people probably don't associate with libraries a lot, but is actually very important to us, and that is marketing. How do we get the word out about what we're doing? I'm always surprised at how many people don't know all the different things that libraries do. So marketing is a very important part of what we do on a daily, weekly, yearly basis. So I'm going to start by just asking Gretchen, like, what sorts of things does your library do, like, annually? What kinds of things do you monthly? How do you get the word out about what your library is doing?
Oh, in so many different ways. And I think you're right to point out that people don't associate libraries or nonprofit sort of organizations doing that kind of work. You know, PR and marketing, it's so important, and I think it also is very close to connected to the advocacy that we do. You know, we're constantly getting right. the word out to get support, you know, financially, and if we need people to go and vote on our behalf with our town officials or county officials, something like that, there's constant communication of our what we're offering and also what our needs are for support. So they're closely connected, and we do annually, we do a sort of state of the library report, end of the year, end of fiscal year newsletter that we send out in the summertime. That's also a way to thank all the people who supported us. And then in terms of you know, more regular communications, certainly our website is the most important, and our weekly e-blast that we send out. We send out a newsletter to about 1,500 addresses via email weekly for adult programs and sort of all-age family programs, and then we have a dedicated blast for families that have requested information who are most specifically interested in our children's programs. And that one goes out normally every 2 weeks, a little more often in the summer when there's even more going on. And our website has a very robust calendar that's built into it, that all of these things will link to tell people about the programs that are going on and how to register, that sort of thing. Also, social media has become increasingly important, as it has to, you know, all areas of our lives, I think. So we have a presence on Facebook and Instagram. And here in Sharon, we still use good old-fashioned flyers, too. We are fortunate enough in our library to have a part-time you know, a fair number of hours per week person who is our community engagement coordinator, and she puts all of these materials together for us. We're lucky to have that. A lot of libraries don't have that, and in many places it's an adult services librarian or the programming librarian who will be doing that kind of communication. I don't know how it is in New York State, but our professional organizations here in Connecticut offer a lot of great free professional development and training for us in these areas through the Connecticut Library Consortium and through the State Library. There are frequently webinars on, you know, how to use Canva, which is a great free graphic design tool that a lot of libraries rely on. So a lot of places have had to learn how to do this on their own. And those flyers I mentioned, we post around town, and we also have at the circulation desk available for people to take with them. And I think word of mouth is a big part of marketing, too.
Absolutely.
People telling their friends what's going on, and we often mention things, of course, the frontline staff, the front desk staff who are there with the patrons all the time are mentioning things to them. So it's a combined effort. How about you? What are you guys doing at
A lot of the same things. We do, like you, have an annual report to the community that goes out every year. Ours usually goes out in about April, so that will be coming out, you know, in the next month. Probably. The website is our primary place to go to find information about the library, so we are constantly updating that. And, of course, social media. We, like you, we have Facebook and Instagram, and not only posting on our own Facebook page, but sharing that content with community bulletin boards and community groups, Facebook pages, so that we can get the word out a little bit more widely than beyond our own followers that way. We have a Twitter account, or now an X account, I guess, but we haven't used it in some time. We didn't find it was, I think you have to think about your time. You could spend all of your time marketing, but, you know, you have to think about strategically what's most effective for you. And for our demographic, that didn't seem to be the place where people were going.
Right.
We have thought about TikTok, but we haven't quite made the leap yet to do that. But again, it's a matter of, would it be worth the time spent? And we really don't know that yet. You, we have e-newsletters that go out. We have a event e-newsletter that goes out twice a month. And we also have a quarterly newsletter that goes out that's more about not upcoming events, but just other things about the library, new materials we have, what's going on with the building. You know, we're building a new pavilion, telling about that, or sort of the behind-the-scenes stuff that you might not know about of the library. We do press releases whenever we have events, do all the local papers, town newsletters. Like you, we do flyers, also using Canva. Great. We love Canva. And post those around, because with our newsletters and our website and our social media, we're reaching the people that are already engaged with the library. Mm-hmm. But we want to be able to reach out to those who may not be regular users at the library. So the flyers, we hope, are doing that job, as well as we have this past year, we've had for years a temporary little sign outside the library that you can change the letters on that promote our events, and the weather would always, you know, it didn't survive the weather very well, and we were always replacing it. We finally put in a nice, permanent, bigger sign that's along Route 22, which gets a lot of traffic. So that is a major way to reach people who are just passing by and might not know what's going on at the library. Mm-hmm. So all of those little things. And as you point out, I think word of mouth is really the most important, probably, that, you know, once people know what's going on in the library, have enjoyed a program there, or found a new resource they didn't know about, and they spread the word, and that's more effective than anything else.
I also was just thinking, we also will sometimes collaborate with other organizations in the town or the region, or ask them to promote one of our events if we feel it's something that might appeal to their people on their mailing list. You know, if it's something historical, with the Historical Society or the Audubon Society or Sharon Playhouse. You know, we are lucky enough to have the Playhouse here in town, and they have a huge draw in the summer, and we'll have an ad in their program that you get when you go to the to one of their shows, and we barter for that, so we don't have to pay for that. They run our ad for our summer events, and then we in the library will promote their shows for them. So there are lots of other ways to do that as well. We have a sandwich board sort of sign outside of the library, since we're on the green and a lot of people walk on the sidewalk through town. And we'll just say, you know, program Saturday, kids program Sunday, you know, film tonight, something like that, in case anybody's walking by and is curious. But but you're right, it takes a lot of time, and you have to decide how much of your resources you can devote. And it's always a little tricky to know how people hear about things, you know? You never know.
Yeah.
We
do community surveys every few years, a couple of years. And one of the questions we always do ask is, how do you hear about what's happening at the library? And, you know, we think, oh, maybe we don't have to do the flyers anymore. Maybe nobody really does. But, you know, people do. I mean, and people say, flyers are my primary way of finding out what's happening at the library. Or, you know, the white sign outside the library is my primary way. So you do have to do a lot of different things to reach different people.
Right.
You are fortunate. I have a staff person who is our communications person. But most libraries don't have that. So it's even more of a challenge for them to find the time and, dedicate the time to doing what's needed.
Right, and someone has to learn all of these different applications. There are a lot of great things out there. There's some that, like Canva, that doesn't cost anything. But you have to learn how to use it, you know, and it takes time. So it's a a lot of effort.
So, and of course, this radio program is another way we're trying to reach out.
Exactly. I wrote that on my notes here. This show is a great one. A great one. Who knows who's listening, driving around, or online. So that's great. Right.
So, speaking of promoting what libraries are doing, what is your library doing these days? What sorts of things are people reading to start with? What are people reading these
days? I'm just back from a lengthy vacation, so I'm a little out of the loop, but I think The Correspondent by Virginia Evans is still quite popular. It took us a really long time to get copies of that, so people are still catching up and sharing on that book. I noticed on our request shelf this morning there's still a bunch of copies of Ian McEwan's What We Can Know waiting for people. That came out in the fall. I think Allegra Goodman's new novel, This Is Not About Us, is popular as well. And there are a lot of big books coming out this month, I know. People have those to look forward to. What about over your place?
Yeah, similar. The Correspondent by Virginia Evans is still far and away the most book with the most holds on it, I should say. And even though I have multiple copies of it as an ebook, an audiobook, and print book, there's still long hold lines. So that's very, very, very popular. Steel of Golden by Alan Levy seems to be probably the next most popular book.
Which just sort of came out of nowhere, right?
Yes, right.
And it was the top of the bestseller list, I noticed, last month, 1 week. So getting lots of press. It came out, I think, over a year ago.
Well, and The Correspondent was unexpected, I think, as well. Yes. People caught on for whatever reason. But, I mean, it's a wonderful book. I've read it. I highly recommend it. But it wasn't on people's radar, I think, initially. And what are you reading yourself? Or did you have any good reads while you were on your vacation?
I did. I did a lot of reading. I read some really good stuff. And the last book, I read the new Tahari Jones book, Kin, which I think just came out last week.
Yes.
And she was featured in the book review, I just noticed, in the Times Book Review, with a great review and feature interview with her in the center of the book review this past Sunday. And I recommend it highly. It's the story of two girls who grow up in the same small town in, I believe it's Mississippi, or no, Louisiana. And they both, at a very, very young age, I mean, within the first few months of their lives, lose their mothers in different ways. So they grow up without mothers, and it is a bond that holds them together as they are raised by other strong women in the community. And very tight relationship, and then they go in different directions as young women. And one heads to Atlanta, to a historically black college, and the other one sets out to try to find her mother. And a series of things ensue, and it's about how they come back together, drift apart again, and the bond that they have. And it's beautiful writing. She's a wonderful writer. Her last book was, I believe, An American Marriage was the last one, which was quite popular a number of years ago. And I recommend it highly. It's beautifully done, and she's a great writer. And their relationship is very touching, and it's also funny at times, raises lots of interesting questions. And it takes place, I think I failed to mention, in the 50s and 60s. So certainly a momentous time for young African-American women in the South. So it's really, really interesting. I liked it a lot. I recommend it. I also read the George Saunders Vigil. I read a few books that were popular last year when I was out, when I was on vacation, so it was great. And I'm reading now Terry Tempest Williams' new book. I don't know if you're familiar with her. She's a nonfiction writer. She's a wonderful, wonderful writer. She's a naturalist, environmentalist, poet, artist, theologian. She's just finishing up a 10-year guest appointment at the Harvard Divinity School for half of the year. This is her last semester, I believe, there. But she lives in the desert outside of Moab, Utah. And she grew up in the Salt Lake area, in a Mormon family, and she's a feminist, and she's just beautiful writing. I followed her for about 30 years or so, and she has a new book called The Glorians, and I believe the subtitle is something along the lines of Finding Beauty in a Broken World. Seems very useful these days. So it's just beautiful writing, and you can read sections of it, and it's sort of memoir and a lot about living in the high desert in Utah, and and her relationship with her students in at the Divinity School. And it also opened exactly 6 years ago this week when the world shut down because of COVID.
Great.
And I can't recommend her enough. She's a wonderful writer. I've gone on a lot, so tell me what you've been reading.
I just finished recently reading a book I think you read and talked about last year, The Bog Queen by Anna North.
Oh, yes, that's a good one.
It came out in 2025. It's a historical mystery about an American forensic anthropologist who's investigating this body that's perfectly preserved that was discovered in the bogs of England. It's a body that dates from the Iron Age, so she's trying to figure out how she died. So there's that story, but it's also the story of the Iron Age woman and what her life was like in that period, and exploring sort of themes of connections to the land and to place, history, nature. I found it a really I like historical fiction, so it was a nice blending of contemporary story and a historical narrative. I enjoyed it a lot. I'm reading.
I thought it was really good.
Yeah, I'm reading. So I'm taking a trip to South Dakota later this spring, and so I like to read books about where I'm traveling. So I'm reading an older book published in the 40s. Murray Sandoz's Crazy Horse, Strange Man of the Oglala, which is a classic biography of Crazy Horse, which is really interestingly written. It's written from the native perspective, but it's also written, the way I describe it is it's like immersion, like learning a language by going to a country and just being immersed in it, not knowing the underlying structure or grammar. You're just thrown into this culture, and you're not given a lot of background or footnotes or that, academic apparatus so common in history books. And you just learn by being absorbed into this culture. So the writing is beautiful. It's a very interesting story. I'm learning a lot. So that's what I'm reading. What about events? I'm sure you've got a lot coming up this spring.
We have an event this Sunday at 4 p.m. with the Visiting Nurses and Hospice of Northwest Connecticut and with somebody from a new hospice home in Salisbury, Connecticut called the East Mountain House. And it's a program on preparing for the end of life, finding comfort in that preparation. So that should be an interesting and important meeting. And that's, again, Sunday at 4. A week from Saturday, on the 28th, we have an introduction to AI with Pam Doran, and your patrons are familiar with her. I was introduced to her through you, Tammy, so thank you. She's coming back for an encore presentation, and she'll be back again on April 11th to talk about AI for artists, which should be very interesting. And on Friday, the 27th, our popular Lunch and Learn program will feature a presentation on preventing falls and safety and mobility. So that should be interesting. We have a lot of kids programs. Tomorrow, on the 13th, we have a Rainbow Prism Science fun hour from 4 to 5 after school. And on Tuesday, the 24th, we will have a workshop to make felt birthday crowns. And then Tuesday, March 31st, is Pigeon's Bird Day from the popular Mo Willems Pigeon books. So it's Happy Bird Day, Pigeon, on Tuesday, March 31st, from 5:15 to 6:15. What do you have happening over there?
So in addition to our usual monthly book clubs and Tai Chi and cookbook clubs and those sorts of things, this Saturday, the 14th, we have a workshop with Taconic State Park educators on amphibians, who are emerging at this time of year. And so we get to learn all about amphibians and how we can help make sure they stay safe during this time of the year. We have a number of webinars, including some tech labs with Pam Doran. We actually had one yesterday on computer internet safety, but we have one coming up on the 25th of March on social media. So if you're interested in learning more on how to use social media and how to be online with social media safely, that is a good opportunity. We have some history webinars also coming up with Jeff Urban, who's an educator at the FDR Presidential Museum and Library in Hyde Park. We've had a number of programs postponed from February due to the weather. One of those is this coming Monday, March 16th, we're having a webinar on Roosevelt, race, and civil rights that was supposed to be in February, but it's been rescheduled to March 16th. And then on the 23rd, the following Monday, March 23rd, we have a webinar on Frances Perkins, FDR's Secretary of Labor, the first woman cabinet secretary. So that's in honor of Women's History Month. We are going to be honoring Frances Perkins. We have some gardening programs coming up as well. And the first one of the one in this month is on the 30th of March, which is on ticks. Also, always a popular topic here or something people want to learn about and learn how to avoid. So that's what we have coming up this month.
Yeah, and they're out there under the snow already, you know.
I know, I know.
I know someone who took one off their dog the other day. It's horrible. They survive under the snow.
They do, they do. So and another program that we have just started this last month, I guess, in February, for those who are looking forward to fishing season, which should be coming up, we now have a drop-in fly tying sessions every other Wednesday.
That's great.
You want to learn. We have experienced fly tiers who are more than willing to help teach you. If you just want to come and meet other fishermen and not all men, fishermen and women, fishing enthusiasts, feel free to drop by on a Wednesday evening. Every other Wednesday we have that. So check our calendar to see what times those are. So that's enough for
Bye-bye.
This
Good
month.
To talk to you, Tim.
We'll be back. Yeah, we'll be back next month.
Between the Stacks is produced at the facilities of Robin Hood Radio 91.9 FM, Sharon, Connecticut.